Bag huge savings on your painting project at Menards. With over 100 years of paint experience, Dutch Boy is the perfect choice for your painting projects. Give your space the platinum treatment with Platinum Plus Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer in one with amazing stain resistance that gives your space a long-lasting finish. Check out Mapped Blue, Dutch Boy's color of the year. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The way there's an awful lot going to happen in 2025, as happens every year. But in political terms in Ireland, we have a new government to form. We have the end of Michael D. Higgins' 14-year presidency, which means there will be a new resident of Áras an Uachtaráin, and matters elsewhere around the globe will impact upon us as well. So we're going to get to all of that with our Friday Forum. Delighted to be joined in our Dublin studio by Danny McConnell, editor of the Business Post, and Gabby Gadifgetcha, who is the political correspondent with the Irish Independent. Good afternoon, or good morning to you both, and Happy New Year to you.
Morning, John.
Gabby, they've still been kind of pretending that they've been talking about forming a government. Obviously, nothing has happened in the last few weeks. When will we see white smoke?
So look, I think it'll be very soon, actually, because even before Christmas, the formation of the next government seemed to be relatively clear to an extent, I suppose. Labour ruled itself out despite being eyed by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as the preferred coalition partner. Social Democrats are still in the playing field, but really I don't think many people will expect them to actually go in, or certainly many TDs in Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And so it has been looking pretty clear for some time now that it will be a group of independent TDs, those regional TDs led by Tipperary TD Michael Lowry, that will eventually go on to form a government. I think it'll happen actually quite quickly now once we get back to business and once the talks resume in a couple of hopefully days time at this stage, because really the deals have to be hammered out between what number of TDs you need, what is it that they want? Do they want jobs in government, for example, ministerial roles? Do they want to secure something for their home constituencies instead? For example, Michael Lowry, who's leading those talks from the independent side, you know, he's not going to be really looking forward for a ministerial role. He prefers to get something in the bag for Tipperary instead. So really the question is, how many of those TDs do you need, and really what are those trade-offs that you have to make? But interestingly, you know, it'll be really more or less 4 or 5 years of the same, where Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael at the helm. And, you know, the majority that they need is quite slim, actually. So they're not going to have this third body, you know, that perhaps there would have been a view, you know, had a lot of power, controlled some of the shots the Green Party did have.
Oh, but they were easy to blame, Gabby. I mean, they were blamed for everything that went wrong in the end, and the voters gave a verdict on that. So, you know, the independents probably are looking at that as well, going, we don't want to end up as the moral mudguard here.
Yes, that's true. But the Green Party did have a big influence on the last programme for government. I mean, they did put their stamp on government policies also. So, look, the independents are looking at that to an extent. But interestingly, independents that go into government, the impact electorally doesn't seem to be as brutal as it has been, for example, for the Greens. And it's that result that spooked the other parties, Labour, for example, who were saying, look, we have our 11 seats, and now if we go into government, we're potentially at risk of losing it all.
It's a wonderful system whereby you get enough votes to get into government and then decide against it for fear that it'll go wrong for you. Danny, the other thing that remains undecided is how long Micheál Martin stays on as Taoiseach. Do you think Fianna Fáil will dig their heels in and look for a little bit longer than the previous 2.5 years each?
Yeah, I think that ground has already been conceded privately by Fine Gael. I think they ultimately know that, you know, Fianna Fáil will probably get a slightly longer stint in the Taoiseach's office than they would, given the fact that they're 10 seats ahead in the Dáil. I think the most interesting thing to watch in the next week or two is the divvy up of the number of seats that each party will gain, because that obviously will have pretty serious ramifications for who's in government, who's not, and where the goodies will essentially get given out to. I think from a Fianna Fáil perspective, there are four guarantees who are going to be in cabinet. That's Micheál Martin, Jack Chambers, Norma Foley, and Dara O'Brien. I think you can bank that those four will be in. And then you've probably got you've a group of about four or five for the other two or three slots that they would get. The likes of Derek Cleary, James Brown, James Lawless are sort of in the mix there as well. I would sense that Charlie McConlogue may be in trouble in terms of full cabinet seat, but let's see where that goes. But
he barely held on to a seat, which doesn't exactly bode well.
No, and also as well, I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Fine Gael really wanting the agricultural portfolio, and Charlie McConlogue was essentially chosen as the third choice Fianna Fáil Minister for Agriculture, given he's a farmer from the Inishowen Peninsula in Donegal. So I think he's in the sort of danger zone in terms of whether or not he gets back into cabinet or not. For Fine Gael, you know what I mean, they're going to have to lick their wounds a little bit. They're probably looking at six cabinet seats, depending on how many the independents really want. And Simon Harris, you know, albeit he's got a pretty changed team at the junior ranks, at the more senior level, it looks like it's a pretty settled field. But it just, you know, one of the big considerations he has to make, does Pascal Donoghue go back in to the finance portfolio or not, given he's been there for an awful long time? And if it's not going into finance, if he goes elsewhere, does that not look like an immediate demotion? So there are things at play. The perception or the feeling is that Simon Harris will go into the Department of Foreign Affairs as Taoiseach to give him that sort of international profile that he would want to retain and give him some standing in Europe, you know, while he prepares to go back into the Taoiseach's office, you know, in two and a half years' time. So yeah, there are a lot of these sort of kind of permutations now being looked at. Not a lot of it necessarily in terms of policy as of yet. I think that nitty-gritty of a programme for government will continue in the background.
I was just going to say the poison chalices, though, in cabinet will be health and housing. My suspicion is that Fianna Fáil will quite happily cede both of them to Fine Gael and say, well, look, we gave them the responsibility and look, it's not our fault they made a bags of it. Almost anticipating failure, Denny.
Yeah, well, it says a lot when housing is now seen as a more poisonous or a more difficult portfolio than health. I think the health difficulties are there. I think most people will understand. I think there was a real realisation during the campaign that disabilities was the one glaring failure of the last two or three governments, that there was a lot of work needed there. So you may see a ramping up of attention in terms of disability care. Whether that takes the form of a super junior minister or not, that remains to be seen. That'll be part of the negotiations. But I do think, I think Fianna Fáil, I think you're right, we'll quite happily maybe see the ground in health, maybe not less so on housing. I think that, look, there might be a feeling that they've made some progress in housing and they might be able to make some more, given where they're going and what they've done. But Fianna Fáil have made it clear they want the justice portfolio, and they'll have to, I suppose, see ground elsewhere if they're going to get that. I suppose they will be giving up the Foreign Affairs Ministry as well, to Simon Harris. So, I mean, like all of these things, will come out in the woodwork. The interesting thing, the last government saw three super junior ministers, one for each leg of the government. It'll be interesting to see whether or not the independents, the rurals, do they get the full cabinet ministry of rural affairs for Sean Canney, as has been, you know, speculated upon. Do they get a super junior, again, has been speculated on. And most importantly, do they get a representative at that leaders' meeting every Monday night? Because if they have a standing at that meeting every Monday, their imprint in government will be substantially increased than if they don't.
Yes, but how does one represent a group as disparate as that is another question. Gabby, the opposition we have to touch on as well. We talked about Labour and Sock Dems happily going into opposition and staying there. This is going to sting for Sinn Féin. They finished up as the second biggest party. I mean, they could have done much better. We know they had a bit of a disastrous campaign in the run-up to it. But ultimately, I mean, how are they going to try and make any inroads on this? Because they put their best hand forward. They were riding high in the polls. Then they cataclysmically fell from those heights. And now they have to try to keep relevant over the course of the next 5 years, knowing pretty much that they didn't get the mandate that they were looking for.
I actually think Sinn Féin had a good general election campaign. Obviously, they were not in a very good way going into it with all the controversies that befell the party. But look, they did lose 5.5% of their vote. But I think their campaign was okay. I mean, look, Sinn Féin really are facing quite an existential question.
Bag huge savings on your painting project in Menards. With over 100 years of paint experience, Dutch Boy is the perfect choice for your painting projects. Give your space the platinum treatment with Platinum Plus Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer in one with amazing stain resistance that gives your space a long-lasting finish. Check out Mapped Blue, Dutch Boy's color of the year. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
fortune now in some respects, because even though they are the second largest party, they're still not going to be ended up in government. So what does that mean for them? I mean, what is their actual pathway to government? The pathway was not there before the general election campaign. It was not there during the campaign. And, you know, it's not there afterwards either. So even though it has done relatively quite well, it's got a seat ahead of Fine Gael, it's still not in government. So what does that pathway to government look like for them? This talk of a left alliance being formed amongst, you know, Sinn Féin and perhaps Labour, Sock Dems. I mean, like, the numbers really are not there for a Dáil majority, and that's where it sees itself in trouble. And so does that mean that Sinn Féin need to be getting, you know, nearly 80, 90 seats to end up in government? You know, back in the days of what used to be majority governments, like, I really don't think that's a possibility anymore.
But is that undemocratic, Gabby? I mean, the way that the outcome happened, yes, they didn't get the majority. They didn't become the largest party, but they were excluded from talks on government. I mean, if you were being truly an independent observer of the Irish political system, it is somewhat undemocratic that they weren't brought in at least to try and form a government.
Well, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will tell you that during the campaign, they very clearly told voters, we're not going to talk to Sinn Féin. And so you might say, well, people voted for those two parties on the basis that they will not talk to Sinn Féin. So I don't know how much water the democratic argument holds. I think it holds... There's issues there for Sinn Féin to resolve through in terms of how exactly do they get into government here in Dublin. And if they are serious about forming this left alliance, that they should do so ASAP so that they can actually go to the people next time around and say, look, this is the actual viable alternative. If you vote for us, this is exactly what you're going to get. And we have a real chance of going into government. I think at one point during the campaign, Mary Lou McDonald was asked, look, how many seats do you realistically see getting after polling day? And I think she said, well, we're running 73 candidates, so we want 73 seats. Like, that's obviously that was not going to happen. But it's a real issue for them to sit around now and to say, look, we've done very well. We have come a long way in the past 10 years, 5 years even. But how do we get to where we want to be?
Yeah. Is there anything to be said, Danny, for another election? Because we have to have one, don't we?
Good God, what's wrong with you, man? Seriously.
Okay, well, the presidential election rather than a general. I mean, we will have to go back to the polls. And can I point out as well, yesterday, I filled in my ballot for Seanad Éireann, and it was the most underwhelming political experience of my life. To the point at which I haven't even posted it yet because I keep forgetting to do it.
I think your point about the Seanad is well made, and we've long heard about the talk of, you know, reforming the Seanad, and obviously when the referendum went to the people and was rejected by the people, it was on the basis that it would be reformed. That hasn't happened. But to Gabby's point earlier on, I just make the point, like, you know, the people don't elect a government, they elect a parliament, and it's the parliament's job to form a government. And, you know, this talk of excluding Sinn Féin, this is all perfectly natural, and this is democratic. This is what happens. It's for the politicians in Leinster House to form a majority, and they do it in whatever way they can. So ultimately that argument doesn't hold. But to the, you know, the presidential election next year, I mean, obviously Michael D. Higgins is coming to the end of a very long, you know, very successful two terms as President of Ireland. He certainly has pushed the boundaries of that office considerably. Yeah. He's gotten himself into an awful lot of trouble.
Polite way of saying it.
Well, he's gotten himself into a lot of trouble repeatedly. He has directly breached the kind of the principle of criticising government policy. He's done that on several occasions, much to the annoyance of successive governments. But it'll be very interesting to see, you know, given will Fine Gael stand a candidate, given they've had two or three very poor elections? You know, Gay Mitchell, 5% is a classic example of that in 2011. Will Fianna Fáil get behind a Bertie Hearn nomination or not? That remains to be seen, because I think Bertie Hearn clearly would like to have his name in the mix. And then you're looking to see, does the dolly mixture of all sorts of independent candidates come out of the woodwork? Are we looking at a field of 8, 9, 10 candidates? We probably are. But ultimately, it's going to define what sort of presidency we're going to have. Is it going to be one that'll be more traditional, more in the pocket of the government of the day, or will it be one kind of like Michael D. Higgins, who kind of sought to kind of do his own thing, stick to his own agenda, often to the controversy? I mean, some of his views on Latin American leaders got himself into awful trouble with government, and I know the level of annoyance at government buildings towards the ORUS is at times been running extremely high. So it'll be a very interesting, I think, for all of us, they're the most embittered, the most nasty, the most personalised campaigns.
Oh, they're great crack. Come on, Daddy. They're tremendous fun. I mean, I've been involved in debates throughout the years. I mean, I was involved in the debate before the debate, which ended one candidate's attempt to get in there. And even that debate was full of tension, mostly down to Ivy Yates moderating it. But, I mean, they are great crack.
Well, they're great crack for us, you know, writing on it and observing it. I don't think they're great crack for those who go through it.
And participants.
Then, and then therefore you kind of ask the question, why in God's name would you put yourself forward to be President of Ireland? Like, it is a bruising campaign, and I suppose it has raised questions around Micheál Martin's long-term position. I think it's very clear any speculation of him heading towards the Oars is wide of the mark. I think Mary Lou MacDonald, in an interview with Elaine Loughlin, the Irish Examiner, last week in a podcast, made it very clear that Gerry Adams has no interest in going for the Oars. So it'd be interesting to see if Sinn Féin stand a candidate or not, given Liam Nerida's candidacy last time around was pretty poor.
Yeah, no, it didn't make much of an imprint, but But, I mean, Gabby, when you look at the names that are being mentioned, like Bertie Ahern is the only person who will probably have the name recognition that people, no, not exactly the name recognition a politician might want, but is there anyone else who'd be willing to join that list who might stand a reasonable chance?
Yes, so look, of course we have the talk around Bertie Ahern as expected. Gerry Adams, of course, is that name that's being mentioned. I don't know if he's actually going to go for it or not. Interesting to see Mary Lou MacDonald's name kind of being floated in recent weeks as well as potentially being a possible candidate, as it being kind of a good way for her to, I suppose, leave maybe Sinn Féin to one extent, but that she would get that name recognition, that she would get that vote out essentially for people, and she'd have more of a ceremonial role as opposed to directly being involved in the politics at Leinster House and in government if such a day ever was to come. So look, I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Peter Casey, is he going to go for it again? I remember in the all the way back in the European elections in June, Luke McFlanagan returned a phenomenal vote, Midlands Northwest. I mean, is he going to put his name forward? There was talk of that at the time. So look, it'll be interesting to see who comes out of the woodwork. I will make the point, though, for such a bruising campaign, I mean, the position of president is obviously very prestigious, but I mean, they really don't have that much of a role when it comes to laws or implementing policies or deciding what the policies are. Yes, of course, they can call in the Supreme Court if they think something is unconstitutional, and they can convene the Council of the State if they see fit. But I mean, really, the role is mostly ceremonial, and you kind of have to bite your tongue a lot of the time. But of course, Michael O'Higgins did not really do that. So it'll be interesting to see if whoever is the next president does maybe a bit more of that.
Here's an interesting text, Danny. This time, if someone promises to be a one-term president, can they be held to keeping that promise if they're voted in? Michael D. Higgins swore holes through many blankets that he would only be there for one term and then decided to go, and we had an election in which he won.
Yeah.
You know, a promise like that is fraught with danger if someone chooses to make it.
Well, I vividly remember the press conference Michael D. Higgins gave in 2011 when he won, because I asked the question, would you be a one-term president? I got laughed out of the room for asking a silly question, having him just being elected.
But not the first time that's happened to you, Danny. It's happened a lot over your career.
No more than yourself, Jonathan. As well. but like, it did come back to bite him. Like, in fairness, like, it was the question that kind of dominated the early stages of the 2018 campaign. I mean, Mr. President, you said you would be a one-term president, blah, blah, blah. You're now going back on your word. How can people trust you? And it did get quite fractious. Like, I mean, there was a heat around that particular question. So, but I think that was largely down to his age at that point. I mean, it was in his 70s when he was first elected. He's now well into his 80s now. So there were legitimate questions around the viability of looking at a term beyond 7 years. So it will just be interesting to see whether, like, if it's Bertie Ahern, will he commit to, given his age profile, he's well into his 70s now, does he commit to a one-term presidency, or would he go for beyond that? But if you're someone in your 30s, 40s or 50s, you know, that question doesn't really arise, because you're in the full of your health and you've plenty of years ahead of you.
A couple of texts on government formation. Fianna Fáil said they would not talk to Sinn Féin, but they also said in the past they wouldn't talk to Fine Gael. It isn't democratic to ignore the second largest party. Really sick of the excuses. And I'm just wondering, Gabby, would it have been better to do a bit of a dance and to say, we're not rejecting the mandate of Sinn Féin? We tried to form a government, even though we said we weren't going to. We still can't form it, but at least we tried. And that's the bit that I can't reconcile, is that at least they didn't pretend to try and form a government and then walk away.
Well, look, I suppose that they made a promise during the campaign, and that yes, the texter is right, that Micheál Martin did say they're not going to go into government with Fine Gael. 4 years ago, I suppose the difference there was that it took so long to form a government and it was looking as if we were probably never even going to get one. So eventually they had to come up with some sort of an arrangement. And I think this is the issue now for political parties, is that politics really is quite constrained and it takes many different shapes now. And it's not the straightforward system of one or the other big party and who are you voting for, Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. All these other parties are now at play, and certainly the Social Democrats and Labour, you know, if they weren't at play before, they certainly are now. And so we see the Irish voter having all these different viewpoints, and you have these, I suppose, this fragmentation of Irish politics. So when it comes to government formation and forming that Dáil majority, we see these political parties contort themselves in stranger ways every election cycle to make up the numbers and to make it work. But look, I think what happened 4 years ago was extremely interesting, because you always had Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael on one end of the spectrum or the other, but never really in the same room together. And really they've set the tone now, because the question begs to be asked, if when you go to the next general election in 2028, 2029, whenever it may be, you know, what is the difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael? And is there even a difference?
That's it. Is there a difference at all that can be identified by anybody, or will they have merged into one singular party without them knowing it? There's one text here. If Bertie Ahern comes out of the cupboard and runs for president, the people will be on the streets. I'm hoping that's a reference to the Sun campaign that he did. I'm presuming it is, where Bertie Ahern once appeared in a cupboard, much to everyone's shock and horror. The big question of the day, we didn't even get to Danny and Gabby, was, is darts a sport?
It is for me, absolutely.
Gabby?
I'm sure it is. I'm a big fan of Luke Littler.
Well, see, everyone likes Luke Littler. This is why I can't understand why so many people had animosity towards a 17-year-old who'd made €1 million in his first year in professional sport. I mean, I'm sure they had their own reasons, but no doubt you'll be sitting down watching it like I will this evening, and indeed look forward to talking to you both over the course of the next 12 months with the permutations of Irish politics being what they may be. Danny McConnell, editor of the Business Post, and Gabby Gadavacacha, a political correspondent with the Irish Independent, which indeed turned 120 yesterday, believe it or not. So happy birthday to them. Yeah, absolutely. It's holding up well, considering. That is it for the programme today. Thank you so much for listening. All of the episodes are uploaded as podcasts. You can listen to them on the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for the Pat Kenny team. Producer today was Alex Russo, editor Emer Bradley, research Kian Burns, Alice O'Leary and Kate Gunnell. Broadcast assistant was Anne-Marie Kane. Hugo De Silva was on sound. Enjoy the weekend, whatever the weather may bring. All of the weather up updates are on newstalk.com and indeed Met Aaron's website as well.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.